right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined as always, it is...
Maddie Juice. What's going on, everybody? It's a big episode, Tommy. It's a big episode because it's episode 100. Triple digits,
We did it. Yeah, I mean, almost weekly. Sure, we had a little bit of a vacation of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it was all easy and you know, no difficulties for you. But to me,
yeah,
you know, I was hard at work, right? You know, doing the tough stuff. But it's, no, we're 100 episodes. Really cool. Thanks, everybody, for sticking with us. It is the last episode until the next one, which is next week. But it's a big one. We're going to be talking about Silk Song. You know, this is it's the biggest release of the year in terms of indie games, you know, arguably. Mostly, yes. But we'll be giving our thoughts and our review. You know, I still have a lot more to play, but I have played quite a few hours, double digit hours at least, of this game. And yeah, we got a lot going on. What's new with you? You know, how's fatherhood?
Yeah, it's good, you know, it's a roller coaster. But no, it's been good overall, you know, just hanging out with her, chilling, really just honestly trying to like figure out now, you know, when can we get like out of the house with her? Mm-hmm. You know, so like we went out to lunch the other day, like we're probably gonna go to like a little park, like state park this week with her. When it's not raining. So now it's like, yeah, just about trying to do stuff with her outside the house. So that's been fun because, you know, it's great to be in and playing games and watching shows, but you can kind of lose your mind. You get that little cabin fever, you know, and our dog Pluto has also definitely gotten some cabin fever as well. So yeah, just figuring out how to get out of the house a little bit. Unfortunately, we can't really like, you know, bring her to like parties and things like that mm-hmm. yet. Which you know, is fine. Like we'll do that probably starting like next year, but at least bringing her out, you know, where there's not a ton of people is the plan at the moment. So yeah, it's been good. It's been tiring, but honestly, like the other night I stayed up. We do like a shift change, Maria and I, at like 3 a.m. So I'll take the first part of the shift just because I typically like can stay up a little bit later. And then when we change, I'll go like sleep around 3. So the other night I was just like, most nights I've been falling asleep, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to have a Celsius. I'm going to just like play games till, like 3 a.m. I was playing with the boys. And it was awesome. I was like, this is great. And I don't have to worry about work. So I was like, maybe I'm going to try to do this more. And then I got a little bit of my footing with being a dad. I feel like, you know, I got to squeeze in these gamer nights while I can before I'm back at work. So, yeah, it's been fun. It's been good. It's been solid. Man.
Yeah. I mean, it's a different world that most people don't know until they get into it. So, you know, I think you're handling it quite well. You know, got to get, you know what? We got to get her outside. We got to get her working, I think.
Yeah.
Probably podcasting at some point. We got big plans for her, but, you know, to get her going. But,
yeah. Be our audio engineer.
Yeah, well, we probably need it. but... what have I done since we last chatted? I went to Montreal for a tournament for Flesh and Blood, and it was a lot of fun. I've never been to Montreal. There was way more French than I expected. Actually, it was like 99% French. You know, all the signs were in French, all the menus were in French. Which is not a bad thing. It's just, I was like, whoa.
Oui.
Like, I know that they speak it here. I do also know they speak English. I didn't know that they were like, boom, we're going French first. So by the end of the weekend, I was saying merci and stuff like that. So I'm a man of culture. It was a good time. Played some Flesh and Blood. The new set is awesome. And then over the weekend, went to our cousin Dan's. Shout out Dan,
nice.
Listener of the show, for his fiance's birthday. That was fun. And, you know, kind of hung out by the fire and stuff like that. That was neat. And then played some more Flesh and Blood over the weekend. And then last night we went to a concert to see Sam Fender down in Philly. It was awesome. He was so good. His band's awesome. And it was like packed. I've been to a lot of Fillmore shows. It was the first one I ever been to where like people were lining up down the street to get in. It was like, what is going on? I mean, yeah. He probably should have played a bigger venue because, you know, comparatively, I think in the UK, he plays like arenas. But here in the States, hasn't quite taken off as much. But maybe that is like a sign that maybe he is taking off. So that was a lot of fun. And yeah, just kind of doing stuff, podcasting, yeah, creating content. You know, playing a lot of the new Flesh and Blood set, Super Slam, which is pretty sweet, but also trying to game as well. Still working on my Balatro no death runs. The highest I got was 26 wins in a row. And then
wow.
I freaking fucked up and, you know, and I was like, God damn it. Like, I was really on one. I think I'm in like 5 or 6 wins in a row in the current one, but, you know, I can usually do a pretty good run on the white stakes, but yeah, after that, once you start getting to the higher stakes, it becomes, you got to really lock in. So
what's like been your average run, would you say? Like
I would say
teens.
You know, I think if the average is brought down by the black deck, because the black deck is the hardest if you don't get a good Joker early, right? It's once you just got to get that first Joker and then you can usually like coast, but like there's just random bad RNG sometimes in the like the first blind that like you just get screwed over and you didn't plan ahead enough and all of a sudden you're dying because it's one less hand. So
yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know, 5 or 6 is probably the average, maybe up to 10, but I the 26 one was like, it took me a while because like, you know, you're not really doing a lot of the runs back to back because you got to really focus, yeah, for the whole 45 minutes or whatever. But, you know, yeah, I tell you what, Lady Fresh loves it on playing so much. You know, she really does. She makes sure she tells me, hey,
yeah,
instead, yeah, of paying attention to me, can you play more Balatro? yes. Oh my God, I thought you'd never ask. But
oh, man,
other than that, man, it's just, you know, we're chilling. We're chilling.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
nice. Well, how'd you do at the Flesh and Blood? I saw you were playing. I saw you were in a promo video as well. You know, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I did okay. I didn't play that well. My buddy Craig almost made top 8. Lost the last round, his win and in, but still got top 16 or something like that. But yeah, it's a limited environment. This is like, you know, this is card gamer talk, but basically you're opening up new packs and building decks from them rather than bringing your own deck. So there's a certain amount of variance, and then like, you know, it was all new cards. It was the first time anybody had played with the set. So, you know, you're just like, it's a lot of information. You got to figure out what you want to do. But I had a lot of fun. I think the set was really cool. And then Montreal was also really cool. So,
nice.
Yeah. I wasn't really winning much, but you know, I probably came out 50-50 on the weekend, but it was a good time. Now, we do have some news. First, we have a Discord, Fresh Juice Discord. Please check it out. It's a great way to interact with us and send in listener questions, recommend games, yada, yada, yada. And then we did it. There was two big delays, I think, which are worth noting. First, might as well say it, Baltro. Local Thunk came out and said, I'm sorry, the big free update that was supposed to come in 2025 will not be coming in 2025. Wrote a really long blog post about it, kind of saying, I'm approaching working on the game like I did when I was making the game initially, and which was like when I had time, et cetera, et cetera, not trying to kill myself doing it, which I respect. And like, listen, it's going to be a free update. So what, you know, what are we going to do? Right. Like, dare you not give us something for free that we've got already gotten hundreds and hundreds of hours out of the other game that we did pay for. So, it sucks, but I hope it just means that we'll get something better in the long run.
Yeah. You know, it is what it is. Like, you know, obviously he has the luxury of being able to do this too, which is great. But yeah, I want that update to be as good as possible. He mentioned that he's got some great ideas he's always noting down in his notebook. So I'm sure, you know, I'm sure he'll be cooking with it, but yeah, it's not anything that needs to be rushed. It's ready when it's ready, and you know, I'm fine with that. There's plenty of things to play, and God knows Balatro has enough replayability as it is. So yeah, it'll be ready when it's ready. That's fine with me. And it'll just make it more exciting when it comes out. But let's just hope that it doesn't become the next Silk Song. Because we just don't need, you know, 7 years of people expecting the next Balatro update. Let's get it before then, maybe. But, you know, take as long as you need at the same time.
Well, it's funny, right? Because, like, right now, if you followed the Silk Song kind of journey, you might be thinking, uh-oh, we have another Silk Song on our hands, where it started out as an update, like DLC, and then they decided to just make a whole new game, and we're just like, oh, what? Balatro 2, but, you know.
Oh, man.
I doubt that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But, we'll see how it goes. And then the other big delay was Slay the Spire 2 is not entering early access this year, and they're looking at 2026 now, which, whatever, that's another one that, you know, as long as it means it's a good product, you know, I think it's fine. It's another one where the base game is still very replayable and people still play the hell out of it. So, there's a lot of hype to live up to in Slay the Spire 2.
Yeah, get it right. So, yeah, take the time you need. I think there's like a misquoted quote of Miyamoto, right? I don't know if he actually said it, but he's like, what is it? Like a bad game is bad forever, but a delayed game is eventually good, or something like that. But apparently he didn't say that. I think people say every time that quote is out. That's you know, there's some truth to it though. So yeah, you know, delay it, make sure it's good, especially when it's a sequel. And you know, we'll be talking about another sequel today.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. Also, some notable releases this week: Jump Space, which is a co-op indie game, right? Another big, like, successful co-op game, and Voyagers of Nera, which looks to be like a similar game to Sea of Thieves, I guess.
Yeah. So, Voyagers of Nera it almost reminds me of like Moana and Sea of Thieves, kind of like a survival game. I was fortunate enough to actually get a code for it. I've been keeping my eye on it for a good while. It's been kind of like because it looks so nice, it's been like a TikTok kind of heavily promoted game. And as the listeners know, I am into survival games. This one's actually pretty cool. It's currently 20% off on Steam, so it's like $24. It's early access, and it's like an online co-op. You know, there's no PvP, anything like that. But basically, you are like, think of like Moana. And you're in this like magical ocean with all these spirits that you can like get these spirits to like follow you, and they have like special powers and things like that. It's been kind of cool. I've been enjoying playing the bit that I've played. You know, I think it has a really good foundation. And I think, you know, I feel like there's this like resurgence of like survival games that's coming back, which makes me excited because I love them, but I'm also, you know, it gets to the point where there's just so many that are coming out that there's only a few of them that are good. And I think Voyages of Nera or whatever is in the good category right now. It's got some cool mechanics. I think it's well made, got a good foundation. So all they need to do throughout early access is two things. Don't be in early access too long and actually build upon this foundation and, you know, make it a good 1.0 release eventually. So yeah, I've been enjoying my time with it. And it definitely is a very pretty game as well. And did you mention the other game on the list?
Jump Space. Yeah.
Jump Space. Yeah, that's another one I've been playing that's in early access. It's a $20 game. This one is basically, how did I categorize it? It's almost like Sea of Thieves meets like, how did I categorize it? I said it was a certain thing. I forget. It was like Sea of Thieves and some other game mixed together, but in space. Helldivers. It's almost like Helldivers and Sea of Thieves kind of together. So you and your crew of up to four players of, you know, your friends get together in this like PvE experience where you're in a ship. You're going from like sector to sector for these little missions, very similar to like Helldivers where you're going from like mission to mission. But then, you know, as like pirates or whatever starts attacking your ship, you need to go around. If there's a fire on your ship, you got to get the, you know, fire extinguisher, put it out. If they damage like the outside of your ship, you got to go out there and repair it. So it's this kind of cool like contrast of kind of these like dogfights you get into, but then you can also hop out of like the ship mode and be in the ship. So it's just been cool. I've been playing with our buddy Pat. I'm hoping some other people get the game too, because a full crew would be a lot of fun. But we've been really enjoying it, especially as the difficulty starting to like ramp up. Because in the beginning it's just like so trivial. You're kind of just hoping for a little bit more interesting combat encounters and just more interesting things to do. But like one of the things that happened that was really cool that we didn't expect was there was like a ship that came in that was attacking us. And once we defeated it, like over the radio, it was like, all right, now go ahead and board the ship. So we were able to like pull up to them, hop out and like actually board their ship and like loot their stuff and then leave. And then like you set the ship to like self-destruct as you leave. So that was really cool. We didn't expect that to happen. So Jump Space, formerly known as Jump Ship, but they got into like some copyright trouble or whatever, trademark trouble with that, I guess, because it's too general. So now it's Jump Space. But another cool game that also came out around the time of Voyagers and Nero. So been really enjoying those two so far, which has been a lot of fun. And so I that's something that is, I'll spoil it. Jump Space is my rec room. So just for the listeners to know, but I'll talk about it a little bit more later. But yeah, it's a fun one.
Sweet. And then also Mega Bonk came out, which I know a lot of people are loving. Did you play the demo for this or something similar? This is like a Vampire Survivors like, but 3D.
Yes.
People are loving it.
Yeah. So I did play the demo. I don't even remember which episode it was. A while ago for Mega Bonk, and I really enjoyed my time with it. It's got overwhelmingly positive, which from what I remember, I don't know if I'd put it in that category. I haven't played 1.0 yet though, so maybe there's a lot more that they've added into it. But yeah, it's a cool take on kind of a 3D like N64, PS1, PS2 kind of graphic game. That is like Vampire Survivors. So yeah, it's only like $8 right now on Steam. I enjoyed my time with it, with the demo. I might end up picking it up. I do see it. Like, honestly, I didn't even know it was coming out, and I do see it a ton on TikTok right now. But it's fun. It's a good time. It's silly. It's like one of the more silly Vampire Survivor likes. So if you're into that sort of stuff, definitely check it out, especially because it's pretty cheap. But I don't know if I'd put it in like you know, I have to play the full game, but I don't know if I'd put it in like that certified fresh juice category if I were to rank it, right? But yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I get a chance to play it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, a good week, you know, kind of like, and I think this upcoming week is also going to be like a ton of releases from people that got pushed away from the game that we're about to talk about, which is Hollow Knight Silksong. Yeah, so
yeah,
let's talk about this game.
Let's do it.
Hollow Knight Silksong. So, as we said before, this was a planned DLC for Hollow Knight, and Team Cherry, the developers of this game, just kind of like were having fun with it and took 7 years to just make a whole new game, right? So, you know, the blurb here, discover a vast haunted kingdom in Hollow Knight Silksong, explore, fight, and survive as you ascend to the peak of a land ruled by silk and song, a contrast to Hollow Knight where you are going down, you're descending, you are ascending. In this game, it is a, what some would call mostly a Metroidvania, but there is some really intense platforming challenges here, as well as some Souls-like boss battles, which, you know, is a little bit of what we saw in Hollow Knight, the first one as well. Hopping into the gameplay, though, it is, for those who played Hollow Knight, it's not going to be a lot different, but there's going to be some noticeable differences with the character that you're playing as. You're playing as Hornet, who you do fight as a boss in Hollow Knight and appears as this kind of NPC often. So that was pretty sick to kind of see this like kind of fan favorite character from that game show up in this as the main character. And you're going to have pretty much like there is a different kind of economy in this. You know, you have these kind of shards that are used to build tools, and you'll see they're not the real kind of currency that you'll have in the game. Like in like Hollow Knight had like, you know, your geo and right, that was the main economy, where the two economies that you have here are the shards, which are for tools and stuff like that, and then also the rosaries, which you'll use to buy stuff. Yeah, you're running around. It's a classic formula of Metroidvania. You know, you're getting power-ups to help you beat certain levels and get like to new areas, etc., etc., having more powerful attacks for more difficult enemies. And you kind of hop in, and the difficulty is going to stare you right in the face because this is a difficult game. And, you know, people have talked about it ad nauseum at this point. But honestly, you know, one of the selling points of this game, I think, is how the difficulty makes you want to be better. Now, there is some talk of, well, should it have been as difficult out of the gates as it was? Maybe not. But we also have to remember that this started out as a DLC for a game that was already difficult, right? In Hollow Knight. So yep. You're assuming that the people that are getting that DLC would have been ready for the challenge anyway. But yeah, I guess that's probably could have been something that could have been reassessed in the beginning of the game. I did not find it to be a hindrance. And honestly, it's part of the charm of both Hollow Knight and Silksong that you're constantly forced to get better and figure out things and also explore to kind of upgrade your character so that these challenges might be a little bit easier for you. Yeah, there's a really cool quest system in this game that I really enjoyed, where, you know, which I think is actually one of the biggest improvements from the first game, where you kind of have this bulletin board thing where you can go find quests, and other NPCs can give you quests. And, you know, not all of them are necessary to do. Some are just to kind of help you, you know, find some better gear or whatever. But it gives you a interesting, like, alternative purpose through going through these maps. And speaking of the map, it's huge. This game is massive. There's so many enemies, so many areas. I don't know for sure if it's bigger than Hollow Knight, but I think it has to be because this was such a a big map to explore, and I'm not even all the way through it, right? There is so much going on here, and you know, each area feels so vastly different, and the enemies are so cool, and the platforming, you know, I love the platforming in this game. I think that some people will find it to be pretty difficult because of how your character Hornet moves with you know, in Hollow Knight you would kind of pogo with your weapon, and this is more of a diagonal. That's the right word.
Yeah, there it is.
movement when you're kind of diving through the air. So, yeah, gameplay wise, I think this is great. I mean, this is a formula that is proven, but there is a lot of innovation here from what we've seen before, right? You know, this is a lot of fun and just so easy to get immersed in this world, I felt like, and to traverse it with how Hornet travels. She's a lot faster than, you know, your character in Hollow Knight, so that is also something that is feels like an upgrade as well, right? You know, like you, that you don't even realize that you need it until that point. But yeah, there's a lot to say about this game, but to kind of really boil down my experience with the gameplay, it's just like difficult, rewarding, awesome challenges in multiple different ways, whether it's just traversing the world, fighting enemies and bosses, or even just the platforming and quest system. So yeah, really positive experience for me, and it's something that I'm continuing to just play almost every night and just have a ton of fun. This is just an awesome world to kind of explore. What are your thoughts on the gameplay?
Yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think the gameplay here, really fantastic. You know, I do have a few small things that I'll get to that I wish were different. But you know, as someone that, you know, I just started playing Hollow Knight, 3 weeks before this game came out. Right. So I was like, I really was like in that mode of playing these kind of like Souls-like-y, you know, kind of that vibe, right? Which obviously the listeners know that's something I love. And you know, I always, it's so important for me with these kind of games that are really difficult is that there's always kind of like this sprinkle of hope, even when you're dying over and over, where you're like, okay, I know I can do this. I can get through this. I need to learn this moveset, or maybe I need to leave and try to level up and come back. So I love, you know, I thought the difficulty was fine from what I have played so far, I guess before they patched it. Because I know I saw a lot of people complaining that, you know, some of these enemies, some of these bosses hit for 2 health points instead of, you know, 1, and that's kind of ridiculous and things like that. I think you bring up a great point that this, you know, was intention or supposed to be a DLC. Makes me think of like the Elden Ring DLC that came out, what was that, last year? This year? I don't even remember it. That was a lot more difficult than the base game. And I still haven't beaten that. So it makes sense to me that this would be that difficult. And, you know, you would expect that people playing this game would have some sort of background in the first Hollow Knight. So I didn't have a problem with the difficulty. I thought that it gave plenty of opportunities to kind of like circumvent it, where you could just be like, okay, I'm going to go try to level up more. I'm going to go explore more. I don't need to fight this right now. I didn't feel like you were kind of locked to a certain boss or a certain area. Because like you mentioned, the map is huge. I actually thought, I was like, oh, I feel like I've explored like a lot of this map. And then I saw like someone on TikTok show the map and I was like, oh my God, I've never even heard of like half of those areas that you're in. This is like huge. I also do have a problem with finding the map person, which if you're watching on YouTube or Spotify, they just found it in the video there. I tend to like explore most of these areas before finding the map at the end. I don't know why I keep missing the map person. So I need to just get better at that because that makes it even harder to play and try to remember where you died and things like that. So that's just something for me. But the core gameplay here is great. I do think that like the kind of parkouring that you do because of the different down attack with Hornet is more challenging, but I think it's learnable. You can figure out. Like I was even talking with like our buddy Bags about it because he was having trouble with it, and I was like, oh, I've tried to like I do it like right when I'm next to the thing that I'm trying to bounce off of. I don't do it too far away from it, and like that, I started to figure out that that worked a little bit better for me because if I did it too far away, I would just miss. And he told me the other day, he's like, oh, you're right. Like that started working. So it's, people online just tend to like to complain about things that are different when they should just spend the time trying to learn it. Now, I will say I did find so they have a crest system in the game, which is kind of like the first sort of issue I have with the game. And it's not really like something that's going to deter me from continuing to play it, but essentially this crest system that you have in the game changes like your base move set, and you can find one that the only other one actually I've found so far that gives you that pogo down attack still, and it gives you a little less range with your other attacks, but I think it gives you like more shards when you kill something. So I've been using that one just because that the pogo has just been easier for me when I do have to do those things, even though now I have like the dash and soon to be like the double jump, so I shouldn't really be a problem anymore. But I think the crest system, I don't mind it changing your base move set. I think that's fine. My issue with it is that the tools you have are just for or sorry, the tool slots you have are just for the crest that you've unlocked them on. So from what my experience, unlocking the tool slots, and for those who don't know what the tools are, they're basically like they can be like passive abilities, or just things that when you heal, it protects you, like little kind of like perks and abilities that you can equip to your character. They call them tools. And to get more slots, at least from my experience, I've only unlocked like one or two other slots. Like it's really been like a grind to get more slots. So when I got a new crest with a better move set, I was excited to like equip things that I had on my previous quest, crest, and I couldn't because I didn't have enough slots for it. So the crest being tied to like, or the slots being tied to the crest, I think is a weird choice because it just makes it feel like unnecessarily grindy when most of the game is already pretty grindy as it is. I don't know. I just feel like it's it kind of just like deters me from like changing to another crest if I find another one. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna just try to invest everything into this crest here because I don't want to have to re-unlock these other tool slots if I find another crest. Even if that other crest has a really cool move set, I feel like I'm still gonna like stick with the one that I've unlocked all these slots for. So that's just one kind of qualm that I have with the game. Nothing that's going to deter me, like I said, from really continuing to play it, but just going to change the way that I'm playing it. And so that's just been one thing, that I just think they didn't have to do that, but is what it is. I did really like the quest system, though, I will say. Now we go from crest to quest. I did really like, I think the quest system is cool. Some of them feel a little just too fetchy, but I do like it at its core. Like it's really exciting finding a new quest and like and turning it in. And I think like I think it's just an overall great addition to the game. There are like times where I get a quest where I'm just like, all right, this just feels like a little mindless doing it, but I'm gonna do it because I want the reward. But there are some that are fun. Like I like the flea one, trying to find all the fleas for the caravan. There's been some fun ones to like kill certain enemies and pick up the items they have. So that's been fun. But really, my only other qualm outside of the crest system is like the currencies that you had mentioned, right? There's the the rosary beads, and then there's the shards. And when you die, you have to go reclaim your rosaries, but you don't actually have to go and reclaim your shards.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue with the system, I don't mind having two different currencies, but if you have certain tools, like, you know, like you're throwing shards, or some of them are like traps, they'll actually like deplete the number of shards you have, which, like, I just think they didn't really need that, or I don't know. It just, to me, I'm like, okay, I'm running low on shards. I'm just not going to use this tool. I just feel like some of them, I'm like, I don't even need to like do these throwing shards most of the time, or these traps most of the time, even if they did help me in the past. I find myself, it's almost like the crest system, where I find myself like just avoiding using it because I don't want to waste my shards in case I need to, I want to do something else with them. I don't even know if you can, you can unlock certain things. You unlock like the fast travel, right? No, that's the rosaries.
Yeah.
What do you unlock with the shards?
To my knowledge, shards are mostly used as a resource. It's not a currency. It's like a resource for your tools. Right.
Okay. And then I thought there were certain things you do unlock with them, but maybe I'm.
I think there might be a few quests that you can just like give the shards.
Yeah, I think that's it.
And stuff
yeah.
like that, and it was initially the shard mechanic was not shocking to me. I was shocked.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh. Because I didn't know initially. I was like, what am I doing with these? And then I think it was when I got the throwing stars or whatever that I realized, like, oh, okay. When I'm done throwing these stars, the next time I sit at a bench, the shards are going to deplete and refill my throwing stars, right? So I didn't mind it. It just kind of makes you a little bit... I kind of like the idea of, not idea, but like the, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like the friction, maybe, I think, like this like gameplay friction where you have to make decisions on what you're using. I do like that quite a bit. I mean, like there was always gameplay friction with the Geo, and same with the rosaries, right? Like, you don't want to lose all of them, right? Because that could happen, right? Like in the first game, right? If you died and then you didn't make it back to your soul to get back your currency, you lost it. And you're like, what the hell? This is the worst feeling ever. The same thing happens here with the rosaries. So there is that friction there. And then the friction with these, because it's just a little bit different with the shards, is, well, you know, I really like this tool. It's very helpful to me, but I need to make sure I use it when I need it, right? And not waste all my shards. So, like, I enjoy that kind of, like, gameplay friction. I don't know if that's the right word I'm looking for, but I can understand why you're just like, okay, well, what's the point of using something that's going to use a lot of it, right? Is it that much more helpful? So,
I feel like I would like I feel like I wouldn't mind as much if it wasn't like, okay, I'm just going to use, I use that like shard kind of like trap, right? Mm-hmm. A lot. Where that has a certain amount of uses. And then when you go sit down, it replenishes. So in my mind, I'm like, well, why can't I just keep using the shards I have on me? To just make, like, why can't I just run? Why do I need to go sit down to like replenish the uses of this thing that I clearly have the shards on me already? I feel like I'd like it more if I could just empty out all, like, I got 200 shards. Look, like, I can use all these traps, you know, maybe. And even the traps, like, you can only have like three out at one time, I think, anyway. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you can just put them everywhere. But I just, in my mind, I'm like, I just hate having to go like rest to then get this like thing back that I should just have on me as it is. Cause I'm like managing health. I'm managing the thread. I'm managing the uses I have with these shards. And then I'm also managing the shards. I just feel like I, maybe don't need to be managing one of those things. Like, just give me as many uses as I have shards or something like that. And these are just very nitpicky things too.
Yeah.
Like I'm not really like upset, you know, with the decision to do this, but I just feel like, I don't know. I just think of like the Souls games where if like I have a certain amount of a currency in my inventory, I can just keep like using as many throwing knives as I want, as long as I have them in my inventory. I don't need to like go rest to then get more throwing knives, even though I already had them. Like, it just, that part just is weird to me. And maybe I'll get another tool, right, that like makes me really go, okay, it's totally worth like using all these shards for this. But yeah, for right now, I'm just like, I barely even use them because I'm like, I don't want to, I feel like I want to save my shards for some reason. And just one other like nitpicky thing. The rosaries rolling all around. Can we like tone down like the gravity or something with them or whatever? Like, sometimes they roll off and I'm like, I am not going back down there to get like three more rosaries, you know? And I know you can get the thing that like collects them kind of for you. But I have other tools I'd rather have than that one. And especially when you like go up, you know, you're going so far and then you find some rosaries on a string and you hit them and they all fly off where you just came from. I don't know. It's just, I worked so hard to get there, you know, and now they just fly away. These, you know, overall, I would love the gameplay, but these are just like little nitpicky things where I'm like, I would have liked it even more if these were better.
I mean, I'm definitely with you on the rosaries flying around. I think with the tying, you know, the repairing of your tools when you're at a bench, I mean, it's consistent, right, with this the whole like inventory system in this game, right, and in Hollow Knight, right? Like, you can't just change your loadout until you're sitting down, right? Like, that is just how it goes. And like, whether that's too annoying or not, I don't know, but at least it's consistent. Now, me, who dies a lot playing this game, I don't have many, it's not like I don't have chances to go back to the bench. So, you know, because I felt like it was fine because, you know, sometimes I get like, I try to like learn, like, not bosses, but like these mini bosses. Sometimes you go into a room where it's like a boss, like just a more powerful enemy that you haven't really encountered yet, and you aren't ready to fight as much. But I want to like learn how to like fight them and like learn how to like, you know, get past that, because you can get past it. So like, that was my first experience with like the shard economy, right? Because I was dying a lot, and then I was using my throwing knives in the battle, and that's when I first saw the shards go down. I'm like, okay, I need to actually just think about how I'm using my shards, which I thought was fine, but I could see how it could be annoying. Now, let's get to the story.
Let's do it.
Which, I'm gonna say, I think this is a better story than Hollow Knight, which already had a great story. This is a little bit more of a, I feel like the stakes are a little bit higher in this. You know, you kind of got this character Hornet who has some like deep ties to, you know, these other characters that you come across, and also who is kind of put into this world that she's not really a part of, right? And she is not necessarily like an antagonist to this world, but she's just a really, really compelling character and has dialogue, which is a different take than in Hollow Knight, right? So, you know, we get to see who she is, and like, you know, she obviously has ties to this kind of royal, kind of higher, like, I guess family, I guess, like her parents. And she was like captured, right? So like, you know, you see the story start out, she was captured. She was, you know, like, I guess going to be enslaved or something like that. And then, you know, was able to break free just by, like, you know, getting a little bit of silk or whatever. And then you kind of end up in this world where, you know, now you have to, like, try to get out of it, right? You know, ascend to where you need to go. And the way she interacts with all the characters, right? Because it's kind of neat, because in Hollow Knight, she is not like, she's not a bad guy, right? Even though it's a boss fight, she is more of this kind of almost Deadpool, not Deadpool, but like Deadpool-esque anti-hero, right? Like a Catwoman in Batman, where not necessarily a main character, but has her own things that she's trying to accomplish that are not really in line with what the main character is also trying to accomplish. So it's kind of interesting to see her side of the story, right? And what she goes through and how she handles, you know, the journey, a similar journey as the Hollow. I always forget the name of the actual protagonist from Hollow Knight. It's not Hollow Knight.
It's the Knight, I think.
So, yeah. I mean, it's a... I haven't rolled credits or anything like that, right? I still have a lot to play. But, like, what I've seen, you're just like, okay, this is a lot more involved, right? And I feel like I am learning more about this character than I was in Hollow Knight, which is, I mean, Hollow Knight was fine. It was good. And you did learn about the character, but she's a little bit more compelling because she has a personality that is, you know, kind of shown through the dialogue and her journey. So yeah, I really like it. I mean, you know, I obviously want to roll credits to really get my full opinion, but you know, it's more than enough to keep me wanting to play. I mean, outside the gameplay, you just, like, you want to see what is going to happen in this story. I think.
Yeah, I agree, especially like being someone that played Hollow Knight, like, you know, like fresh right before Silksong. Like, that's the one of the first things I noticed is, like, one, like, you know, Hornet talks. There's definitely like more personality there, and yeah, just the way she interacts with like all the different kind of characters you come across as well. Some of them, I mean, they're pretty like humorous interactions sometimes they're really like sad as well. There's like a lot of these bugs that are like, you know, doing everything for this like citadel. Is like, there's this kind of like, you know, religious tone with the game, they're kind of, you know, it's just, some of it's like pretty sad to talk about, you know, to see them talk about. But I think that there is there's a lot more it feels like a lot more at stake, almost. Like, I don't know, this whole ascension of trying to like ascend to figure out like why you were captured, like and brought to this kingdom. I was getting like Haunty vibes, where like when we were playing Haunty, I was like, I wanted to try to like ascend out of here. I don't know, this like feeling of ascension for some reason felt like I had like more purpose like going through than like I did with Hollow Knight, where I just felt like I was trying to figure out what was this, like, what was it like, there was like some sickness on the land or something like that in Hollow Knight. So I don't know, I just felt like this was like a better core to the story versus in Hollow Knight. And yeah, I enjoyed the character of Hornet more. I haven't rolled credits. Well, technically I did, because you can just go to the main menu and roll credits. So I did that once just to like be like, can I just roll credits right from the start? But I haven't beaten the game, so I'm excited to see kind of what else unravels. But I really enjoy the interactions with like all the different like NPCs and vendors that you come across, especially like the one where you get like a new dress that it gives you like a new ability. I think there was like a seamstress that you like talking to in there. I enjoyed that interaction. It just kind of sticks in my head compared to some of the others. But yeah, it's as someone that I'm still going through the story, I didn't beat Hollow Knight either, but like I'm just kind of comparing what I've played so far, and yeah, I'm enjoying the story in Silk Song as well. I'm not much of a big like dialogue guy, but like there's not a ton of it in this game, so I'm able to like kind of get through it and read it, and you know, I always look for hints in the dialogue anyway. Also, mm-hmm. just one other thing that I forgot that I noted down about the gameplay. Why is there no bank in this? Okay, I need a bank. Because yeah. I actually looked up if there was a bank, because I was like, I want to go to this and start banging my stuff. There's apparently no bank in the game. No Give bank. Me a bank, you know?
Well, the bank in Hollow Knight was tricksy. Because, like they
what can, do you mean?
They can, I mean, this might be a little bit of a spoiler, but
that's okay.
The bank in Hollow Knight will disappear at some point, even with the stuff that you put in there.
Really?
Yeah, but like
I
think
put stuff in there.
Yeah, yeah. Like I, well, you know, it will disappear, but then like at a certain point in the story, she'll reappear and then like give you it, but like you'll just won't have access to it for a bit.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, still, something like that would yeah. be nice, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, story wise, enjoying this one as well.
Yeah, I like the dreamlike sequences too. That will pop up through this story as well. Yeah. I always kind of like that in media anyway, right? Like a lot of the books that I read are just like kind of chock full of dream sequences and stuff like that. So I always like that. As a, I don't even know if they're like dream sequels, but they're a little bit like psychedelic in this game, which I think is cool. Now, let's get to the visuals. I think this game is beautiful. I mean, listen, I think Hollow Knight is one of my favorite like visual games like of like the past like 10 years or whatever, right? Just so unique. It's you see anything from that game, you know it's from Hollow Knight, and this is just more of that and just like a different vibe, right? This is a little bit more living, right? Because Hollow Knight, it's you're going through a little bit more of an abandoned world, right? And this is chock full of life and stuff like that, but it doesn't mean it's not dangerous, but it just yeah. is like so dynamic, all the backgrounds, everything. I mean, Hornet's design obviously is still the same from Hollow Knight, but she just looks great. She fits into this world. The character design's awesome. I mean, Team Cherry just like, I don't know, like what do they do after this? Because they're just so, so good at creating unique looking environments, characters. They built this world perfectly. It's just like you could just go to any part of this map and you're just kind of in awe at like how it looks. Every new enemy, I mean, this one especially, you're just like, wow, this is cooler than the last one. Like what are we doing yeah. here? It just looks so good. Their use of color is amazing because it's not a vibrant. These are not vibrant games, but the color is there with purpose, right? So, mm-hmm. yeah, I can't really say much more than that. I mean, you know, the simple, it's simplistic kind of, what do you call it, heads-up display up at the top, you know. You know what is going on. You know, like, you got good indicators of when your spool yeah
thread silk
yeah the thread spool is filled
you know
when everything else is filled. And I guess the one thing I would have liked a little bit more is to just kind of know how many rosaries I had all the time, right? Like it will show up when you get them and then disappear. I don't know if there was a setting there. I feel like I looked and there wasn't. But that is probably just a nitpick because you could just press pause and look, but yeah, that would have been nice to see. But, I understand like with this game, you have a little bit more, like kind of bars of stuff, right. In the top than normal, right. It's not just your health. You got like the spool, you got like the whatever tool you have, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, this game looks amazing.
Yeah, it's, you know, you're wondering, what does Team Cherry do next? I'll tell you what they do. They add these two characters to Smash, and they give us some awesome stages that are set in the Hollow Knight world, because that would be sick. And yeah, it's, I mean, it just looks amazing. Honestly, right from the beginning, and I'll put the video back to like the beginning area of you're kind of in this mossy area. I was just like, oh my God, like this game is gorgeous, you know, just like the layers they have there, the contrast, the you know, they obviously have this this kind of like light that's surrounding your character like they did in Hollow Knight. I mean, it just looks so good. They do an amazing job with the look of this game. And you know, in terms of like enemy design, I mean, I love every enemy I come across, even if I hate the moveset, I'm always like, this enemy just looks so cool. Like there's certain enemies that have like the scissors, right? Which mm-hmm. like have been you know, annoying to me. But they just look awesome. The fact that it can like jump up through the floors, right, and like chase you that way. I mean, just what a visually awesome way to like have an enemy come after you. You know, versus it just like hopping up there. It's like breaking through with these giant scissors and chasing you. And it's just like a basic enemy that's in between, you know, different bosses. I love everything about the enemy design in this game. You know, Hornet looks awesome, you know, especially, you know, you can get the different upgrades. You get one where you can kind of like float, right? So her like dress puffs up and like it looks cool. It's just such an amazing game visually. I also, that's the only note I had was, yeah, also about like the rosaries. I actually find myself like looking at that quick map rather than going to the inventory, whatever you call like the kind of overlay map. Mm-hmm. For some reason, I keep thinking that like the rosaries will show when I access that, and they don't. So maybe that's where they could put them so it doesn't clutter up the you know, everything that's already in the heads up display in like the top left, but at least like you'd be able to access it a little bit quicker than like going into your inventory then going to that tab where it shows them. So yeah, I agree, like that's the only thing that I think they could improve upon from like the UI standpoint, or maybe even just like when you go to spend your rosaries, it tells you how many you have currently. I think it only just will tell you if you don't have enough. Mm-hmm. Something small like that would be helpful. But again, yeah, it's not like a huge deal. But yeah, I mean, just everything about this game, I'm so excited to like get to a new area, see what enemy types there are, see what the environments look like. It's just truly, you know, I said this when I was playing Hollow Knight, like I should have played this a long time ago. And it's not just for the gameplay, but it's also just for the like the visuals. I'm like, it's just, they do an amazing job with designing the game. And, you know, I don't know if it should have taken 7 years or whatever to get to this point, but the visual, from a visual standpoint, worth the wait, at least. So it's yeah, it just looks amazing. I'm just watching the gameplay in awe. And also boss design wise, I mean, some really cool bosses that you get to fight in interesting ways, at least that I've fought so far. Some that are even like, you think they're part of the background and they come out and they, you know, start attacking you, like just really cool ways to, you know, involve different types of enemies. So yeah, great job, Team Cherry, for sure.
Great job. And then, you know, great job in the sound effects and the music, because I mean, you know, the voice acting's great, right? Yeah. Did you know that Concerned Ape is a voice in in this game?
But, oh, I did see that. I didn't know.
I don't know who
he actually voices. Yeah.
But yeah, the voice acting's really cool. You know, it's like it's really on like that theme that Hollow Knight has. It's like kind of like childish, but like, you know, it adds to the charm of these games, right? You know, like we talk about these character designs because they're not like scary or anything like that. Like some stuff will be a little bit like creepy, but like it's never like I'm terrified, but you're, it's got this kind of nice tongue in cheek cuteness to it, which the voice acting has in these games as well. And then the music, the score is excellent. This is by Christopher Larkin. Just, you know, some of these tracks are just so good. I mean, I would recommend just throwing on the whole OST on like YouTube and just chilling while you're working, because it's that good, right? It's just, it's more of the same quality that we got from Hollow Knight. So, really good there. Don't really have a lot of notes on it. I don't think I had any issues with either the sound or the music. You know, I appreciated all of it, actually.
Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, music, sound effects, great. I mean, one thing that I just can't get out of my head is the healing sound. It got to the point where like Maria just says it randomly, or it's like bingy or whatever she says. I don't even know what she says, but it just, I find myself just saying it whenever I go to heal as well. And it surprisingly hasn't gotten to the point where I find it annoying. I just kind of like, you know, it just, I don't know, sticks in my head and it feels right. So yeah, sound design, just fantastic in the game. Enemy sound design, great. Love the way like attacking sounds too, with the different types of attacks that you get. Just really satisfying, crisp. Just, yeah, I don't have a lot of notes really with the sound. I mean, it just sounds just as good as the first Hollow Knight in terms of like different sound effects. So, yeah, great job. Again, Team Cherry, don't have a lot of notes with the sound. I had no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, Team Cherry. I mean, it's pretty incredible, you know, what they've done here. But performance wise, I played on the Switch too. I had no issues. Just ran like a charm. Did you have any issues?
No. Yeah, I bought it on Steam, so I played on PC and on the deck. Runs great on both. Didn't really have any issues in terms of performance. One thing that did come up, just in case there's anyone else out there with a similar issue, because it took me a good amount of like Redditing and Googling to figure this out, is that I have a dock for my Steam Deck. And when I docked and I was trying to play the game on the TV, I was using an Xbox One controller. And with a game like this, you don't want any input lag. And there was a noticeable amount of it. And I was trying to figure out why. I was like, none of my other games have this issue. Maybe it's just because I'm not playing like really precise, like platformer kind of games lately, at least other than Silksong. And what actually ended up fixing it was I just used a PS5 controller instead. And I paired that to the Steam Deck and I had no issues whatsoever. So if there's anyone out there that's like trying to play, I don't know if this is also an issue on PC or if it's just on Steam Deck, at least for wireless Xbox One controllers. I play wired on PC, but if anyone's out there having that issue with Xbox controllers, maybe try maybe a newer Xbox controller or a PS5 controller and see, or maybe even a Nintendo Switch Pro controller and just see if that fixes it. I found one Reddit comment buried in the thread that just someone was like, oh, it's because you're using an Xbox controller, you got to switch to PS5 or a different type and it'll work. And lo and behold, it's been totally fine. So not really an issue with the game. I think it's probably due to like the Steam Deck for some reason, but yeah, that's just the only weird thing that came up specifically with this game, but not with any other game that I've played on the Steam Deck. So anyone out there having that issue, make sure you look into that and try a different controller.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't have that issue because I was not playing on Steam, but I'm glad that you figured it out, my friend. It's time for our final rating of Silksong. Our ratings are as followed. Nice new graphic for us. Best games ever. Certified Fresh Juice. These are your Balatros of the world. A steal. These are games that are good, not perfect, but we definitely recommend. On sale. Games that have some issues. Maybe you want to wait till it goes on sale, or hopefully they make some updates to fix them. Manager special. If it's free to play or a deep discount, whatever, you know, you might like it, but we didn't necessarily like it, but it has some redeeming qualities, maybe for people who are really into the certain genre. And then Spoiled Milk is for games that we think suck at any price point. So don't waste your time. Now, yeah, the Silk Song's a
Go ahead.
certified fresh juice.
Yeah, I think
Yeah.
so.
Yeah. This is, I mean, listen, there's some nitpicks there, but really, honestly, $20 game. I mean, the price doesn't even matter. I think this could have been anything. It's so impressive. Really just like a long time coming. I mean, that might have been what made it so good, right? That's a lot of work to put into the game. Clearly, they'd put a lot of work into the game. And, I think it really shook up the gaming world, which I think is cool in a positive way, I think. And I think Team Cherry is still a relatively small team. So to see this come from a small team is just really, really crazy. I mean, to think Hollow Knight itself was like a Kickstarter, right? And now we're looking at, possibly a Game of the Year contender. So certified fresh juice.
Yes, absolutely. My only note here is don't take so long with the next one, if there is a next one, which I imagine there's gonna be. I mean, I haven't finished the story, but I imagine there, I don't know, it feels like sort of a trilogy kind of feel that could happen here. But yeah, really. Certified fresh juice, absolutely checking off all the boxes here. Just those small nitpicky things that, again, will not stop me from continuing playing. And really just a truly a premier game in the indie space, where like it's on that Mount Rushmore, Hollow Knight, I'd say, just from being a relatively new fan of Hollow Knight, immediately saw the impact and I was like, wow, this is why people have been begging for Silk Song. This is why people always put Hollow Knight up there. And Silk Song really just feels, even if it feels like, it's not a problem, it feels like more Hollow Knight, because it was supposed to be a DLC. So I think it's just, a top tier game, definitely going to be in the running for Game of the Year this year. We'll see, kind of what else is in there, but I think it'll definitely, be nominated. And yeah, just a certified fresh juice every way you look at it.
Amen, amen. And next week we have, we'll do some, we're gonna do the alternate, thing, I think, where, next week won't be a review, but we'll be talking video games, indie games, and then the week after that we will be reviewing Catanaut, a newer game from, our listener Capolo's friend. So we'll be checking that one out. And now we got some listener questions. These come from the Fresh Juice Heads in the Fresh Juice Discord. We got two from Bags. One is, what's better, a potato chip that's perfectly shaped or one that's folded over?
I always like one that's folded over, get that like crunch. I'm liking that one. All the like the misfits in the bag of potato chips are like my go-to. And I wish like things like Doritos and stuff had those ugly ones in there. I feel like they don't really, they're all too perfectly shaped or just like broken. Give me those like little misfits, those little like folded over, crinkly ones, I guess, or whatever you want to call them. But yeah, sure, I'll go with the folded over. What about you?
Yeah, I gotta go fold it over. I like some crunch. It is what I want out of my potato chips. Like, I understand the taste is good, but like, listen, I want to get some crunch going on. Good question though. And the other one is, who's your favorite indie game protagonist?
Indie game protagonist. So, I mean, Hollow Knight is obviously up there. Man, I don't know, it's tough. I love Cuphead. I think Cuphead's a really cool one. It's tough to choose a Super Meat Boy was impactful. I guess for me. What about you? You got anything that comes to mind?
So there is a game called Slain Back from Hell. This like kind of heavy metal. I don't know if you'd call it a Metroidvania. I guess it's just like an action platformer, but such a cool game with a really cool score. But you're basically like this like kind of Viking looking dude with a giant sword. I think his name's Batharin or something like that. He's cool. I'm just thinking about that one because I think they just announced the sequel. So or the sequel's coming soon. So I like that game a bit. So Batharin. I'm hoping that the second one's better than the first one. The first one was good, but it definitely had some issues. So just like to give it like to like an underdog.
Yeah, yeah. And there's also was it the Headless in?
Yeah, in Dead Cells. Yeah, that's my go-to one.
Yeah, yeah, that one just looks so cool. I feel like it's tough though. Sometimes like a lot of these indie games, they don't really have like a strong protagonist, right? I feel like in a lot of the ones we play, but yeah. Thanks for the question, Bags.
Thanks for the question. And then Capolo asks, favorite cheat code in a game.
Oh man, I haven't used cheat codes in games for a long time. The last one I remember is like Rosebud in The Sims, where I think you got like you could get like unlimited money. I did that one back in the day. You know, I remember getting like you'd have like the what was it, like Game Informer magazines or even like certain like books you could just buy with different cheat codes in it. I probably used it for I don't even remember what games I used it for. Clearly they weren't super impactful. I don't know. That one comes to mind, The Sims one. What about you, Tom?
Oh, man. This one's tough. I mean, I guess, like, I don't know if it was, like, a cheat code, but, like, there, you know, in Pokemon, there was the missing number glitch. That was always cool. There's a cheat code in Silksong where you go into a certain part of the menu and you input a certain, I think it might be the Konami code or something like that, that will unlock, like, a permadeath mode.
Oh yes, yeah. If you hate yourself, go ahead and get that unlocked.
So I don't know, that's probably it. I mean, we don't get a lot of them anymore, but it is I do. Okay, so like the Tony Hawk's ones were really cool where you can get like moon physics and stuff like that. That was always a lot of fun. But
go ahead.
K-more asked, what would be your spirit animal?
My spirit animal. A sea turtle? I don't know. I always thought sea turtles were really cool.
Sea turtles,
you know,
cool.
Probably just from Finding Nemo. I was like, man, it'd be cool to just like be a sea turtle. You know, as long as you made it into the water when you were a baby. But I don't know. Something like that, maybe. What about you?
I mean, I have two different animals tattooed on me. I have an owl, which I do really like owls. I think they're very kind of, they're cool. Like a cooler bird of prey than like your typical bird of prey.
Yeah.
And then, and then an octopus, which it is my favorite animal, but I don't know if I love the lifespan that they have, right? So I think they're I think I'll go with owl. I'm gonna go with an owl.
But owls are cool.
Good question. Yeah. Good question. And that's gonna take us to the rec room. What do you have to recommend this week?
I'm recommending what I mentioned earlier, Jump Space, $20 early access game on Steam. A lot of fun if you're into like those kind of almost like, yeah, like Sea of Thieves meets Helldivers. You know, you got a friend or two to play, even like solo. I was having a good time playing it. I don't know. It just seems like a game that's got a solid foundation. Been one that I've been keeping my eye on for a good bit. And it's been fun. It's just been fun, you know, hopping in for, you know, an hour, just doing a session of it from time to time. And yeah, check out Jump Space. It is only $20 on Steam, which also is, you know, to me, could have been a $30 game at least in my mind. But it is early access, so not doesn't have all the features in it yet. But I've put, let's see, about 6 hours into it so far, and it's been a great time. So check out Jump Space.
Cool. It does look pretty sweet. I am recommending a song called Tuesday by a band Tuesday. Called Towns, which is T-O-U-N-D-S. Every once in a while you log into Spotify and they're just like, new music for you. And you're like, I've never heard of this band in my life. Maybe I will like it. I'll give it a listen. And I gave a listen to the album. It was good. And they have this song called Tuesday that I liked. So that's my recommendation. I haven't really consumed a lot of media outside of music and podcasts lately. So that's it. That is it.
Hell yeah.
Another banger. 100 episodes.
Towns. There we go. 100. Here's to another 100.
To another 1,000.
In the next year.
In the next year. 1, 2 every day. 3 every day, actually. But, yeah, that's been it. And I am Tommy Fresh. You can find me at Fresh Buds Pod on all platforms. And I got a podcast called Fresh and Buds. Talk about Flesh and Blood trading card game. And you can find us on all platforms at Fresh Juice Pod. Matthew, where can people find you?
Find me at Matty Gorm. I'm doing some streams every now and then when I have time. But, yeah, find me at Matty Gorm, G-O-R-M. And, yeah, just a big thank you to all the juiceheads out there, you know, been with us for 100 episodes. You guys submitting questions every week. I mean, we appreciate it. And, yeah, it's been fun, you know, checking out all the... I've never played so many games in my life.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. Yeah, checking out a lot of different games and keep them coming. Keep those recommendations coming in the Discord. Obviously, our next game we'll be reviewing is Catanaut. So that was a recommendation from Capolo. So if you guys have any other ones, put them in there. But yeah, there we go. 100 apps. We did it.
And they were the freshest, juiciest apps ever. Goodbye.